What's up, Beast Blaze? December 4th, 2020. I was reading this thing about the... Oh, before I go into that, I'm going to talk about the Joker a little bit. Comic book. But before that, real quick, I saw an article that Barack Obama, George Bush, and Bill Clinton are all going to take a COVID vaccine once it's approved and all that. Publicly, Bill Gates has said the same thing. And I commend the leadership by example. That's nice when mostly, especially on like left wing and especially on environmental issues, there's been a lot of saying one thing and doing another. Bad leadership. Well, it's worse on the left. You do see it occasionally with, on the right, you see it mainly with like megachurch type pastors getting caught, like, you know, Jimmy Swagger would be an example, like, hey, you need to be perfect and follow these rules. You are preaching it. You have to follow it. You can't use the, well, people are flawed. No, you're asking me to sacrifice. You have to share in the sacrifice. Basic leadership for the Marine Corps. And then on the other front, you have like the Gavin Newsom, a bunch of mayors, the mayor of Chicago, mayor of San Francisco, famously saying like, you're going to stay inside, we're going to lock you in. And then they go out and visit family and go to restaurants and go to parties. It's like, you can't do that. I don't care what, I don't care even if it's like, but I followed all the rules. This is a lesson learned in Marine Corps. You can't have the appearance of, you failed. Gavin Newsom, you failed. Now you're going to get a lot more feet pushed back than you would have. If you preach all this like piety and then you follow through, you'll get some pushback, but people will be like, oh, well, you know, he says to do all this stuff, but he does it. But now Newsom does not. So now you've got a guy who's made a pretty major leadership fail. Not that, and whether or not his lockdown decisions are good or not is not the point. It's just that he had a leadership fail. And it's nice to see some guys saying, like, you're going to take this vaccine. I'm going to take it first. And I see two major problems with this. There's a spectrum of wanting to take vaccines, everything from people that will have to be strapped, like held down, like restrained, and then shut up. They'll fight it to that point, all the way to people that would take it even if it was experimental, even if it was like, this is likely to not work and kill you, and they'd still take it, right? Because they're so afraid of corona, or they're into new stuff, or they're just the kind of people that want the thing. You know, like when cell phones first came out, they only worked in like Manhattan or something. And but in California, people were carrying them around because it was a cool thing to have, but it didn't work. So it's the same thing with this vaccine. You say, oh, I got the vaccine, I'm connected, right? All the way to people who are like, no, this thing's like Bill Gates' death serum. Both sides are probably, it's probably somewhere not on either of those extremes. So given that, I think that these guys going out and talking about it, it's going to create like a funny sort of double backlash. On one side, you're going to have people saying like they're not, it's just water or saline. And on the other side, you have people saying, well, these greedy buttheads are like, they're butting in line. So vaccines have been great for humanity. There's no doubt that the smallpox vaccine and polio vaccine and countless others have done tremendous good for humanity. That is without a doubt. But for whatever reason, people are scared of these things and Jenny McCarthy. And so you got to like kind of go, hey, there's no pharmaceutical free ride. When you take a vaccine, there's a cost. You might notice it. You might not notice it. So that's valid to question it. Secondly, you have a right to yourself and your body. Much like pro-choice people will say, her body, her choice. I would say the same thing here. Also, you know, I'm consistent that I think that if you want, I think, you know, I've talked about this a lot. If you want to drink beer and smoke weed, as long as you don't go too far with it, like become an alcoholic, which is a genetic trait, I think. You either are or you aren't. So, but you can take it too far without being an alcoholic, but you get the idea, right? It's fine. You do that all you want. Psychedelics, I feel the same way about. Like, you go ahead and you use them. There's risks, whatever. You want to go bungee jumping or rock climbing. I mean, how stupid is rock climbing? I'm going to, like, without ropes, I'm going to climb up this mountain without any safety equipment to prove how tough and cool I am. What? Any small slip could cause your death. Now, I know those guys do it safely all the time, but that's not the point. People shoot up heroin safely all the time, too. But it's your choice. You want to climb a rock? You want to shoot up? Go ahead. Knock yourself out. Same thing with this vaccine thing. You want to take it? Cool. You don't? Cool. That's your choice. That's the society we live in. Can't make me. Especially for something that's not particularly deadly. Or we're not talking about the Black Death. Because if we were, there would already be lines outside of Pfizer. There'd be very few people going like, this is bad. This is going to... There always would be. This could literally be Black Plague. We literally could have lost 20% of our population. And it would still be people saying, like, this vaccine's not going to work and blah, blah, blah. That's not the point. The point is that there wouldn't be so much contention, I don't think. Anyway, so that was just, like, a real quick aside on that. Like, it could just go either way, right? I'm just saying that, like, I like the idea these guys are like, hey, man... Look, this thing, this isn't some crazy thing. We're trying to, like, hit you with, like, poison here. And we're going to go ahead and take it. Another one would be, hey, this is me and my family taking it. I'm giving it to my little kids. Like, I think of Biden, like, sitting there going, like, look, this is my grandkid taking the shot. And the other piece is, like, is it fake? Like, are you faking this? I don't think so. I think that there's a significant portion of our population that... is 100% like, no, this vaccine's great. We need to take it, da-da-da. And I think there's another section that goes like, this thing is like poison meant to like make us infertile. I don't know. I really don't know which is correct, right? It would seem to me, Occam's razor would say, this is just a vaccine to get everybody past this thing. Like, if we've generated so much fear, now we can't just go, okay, it's over. Actually, you could. They have to save face, though, so like... Like, okay, we got the vaccine. Everyone go back to normal. We wore masks for a while. Everyone got the vaccine. It's still out there. Because they're saying things like I'm reading things that, like, there's no evidence that, like, well, we can't guarantee that this thing won't stop the spread. Then why are we have... All right, so moving on from there. There's this big thing about, like, the Joker is, like, this beloved villain in comic books and in movies. If you're unfamiliar, where have you been? But no, it's a character out of a Batman comic that made it into the Batman movies that was like kind of a resurgence of comic book movies. Now, comic book movies have been around for a very long time, going back to the 50s and 60s. Comic books really come out as like a major cultural art form in the 40s, I want to say, like it's a big thing in the 40s, 50s, etc. And then you have, you know, it kind of grows and grows and grows. And then suddenly it starts being made into TV shows, movies in the 1950s. And it sort of plods along. And none of these things are like as huge as Marvel for a bunch of reasons. But one of them being like special effects. They've gotten cheaper and better. So now you can really do... A lot of this Marvel stuff was crazy. I remember like in the 80s when I was reading some of the Marvel comics. I was partial to X-Men. They were like... The stuff they were doing in the comic books, you just could not recreate on a screen with any level of like... Not it making it look cheesy. And then they sort of like die off. So Superman 4 comes out sometime in like the mid-80s. And for a few years, this idea of comic book movies just are using comic book characters sort of like... I mean, it doesn't entirely go away because Hollywood definitely needs tons of source material to create like the massive amount of stuff they create. But what I'm saying is that... It sort of just had an adhere. It's not like it is today where it's like DC and Marvel fighting it out. There's tons of stuff on TV. there were a bunch of, like, kids' cartoons. You know, like, The Amazing Spider-Man, Web of the Spider-Man, Spider-Man and His Friends or something that, like, then cross-pollinated with an X-Men cartoon. But it wasn't the cultural zeitgeist it is today. That's a weird thing to say. Listen, quite as big of a cultural impact on the zeitgeist as it is today. And then, and it was always like, it was like silly time too. It was kind of like, not kid stuff, but close. And then a guy named Tim Burton makes the best movie he ever makes, called Batman. He takes comedian who's, his name escapes me now. It's driving me crazy. But, and Jack Nicholson as the Joker in Batman 1. And it's funny because the guy that the comedian he uses was in Gung Ho and Mr. Mom. He did that thing where a comedian does like a super serious movie about a guy like dying of cancer. And then he does, but he was a stand-up comedian and he was a comic actor. He looked like he carried himself more like Bruce Willis, but he did like Mr. Mom. And funny aside too, Bruce Willis doesn't like the idea that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. He says it's a Bruce Willis movie. Okay. Anyway, but Jack Nicholson plays the Joker and he plays him slightly differently. The character of the Joker is, in D&D terms, chaotic neutral, meaning utterly and completely unpredictable from moment to moment, has no overriding, isn't nihilistic, has no overriding philosophy to what he does, and it's not based on greed. Like, he might be greedy, but that's not the point. Meaning what? Meaning, and his character is always designed this way. It shows him laughing and cackling. He just does what he thinks is funny at any given moment. And his idea of funny is like shooting people in the head, right? In the movie, Nicholson goes insane from falling in like a chemical bath or something. In the comic, I don't know what the genesis of the story is. They made an entire movie about how this guy goes psycho and people pick on him, I think, in Joker. I don't know. But what I'm saying is I'm trying to get to this Jared Leto thing. Let me keep going though. So, but the character is nihilistic and is just random and odd, right? Tending towards violence and tending towards doing messed up shit. Now, the first guy that played the Joker plays that in a sort of cartoonish, funny way. He's just giggling all the time in the Batman TV series. The guy's just like giggling. He thinks everything's funny. You know, he's kind of like greedy, but the one thing that isn't that. So, but at the same time, he's portrayed more as like, I want to say like lawful evil, in Dungeons and Dragons terms, because he's part of an organized gang, and he sticks, generally speaking, to their rule set. Now he does occasionally. He is the one that'll occasionally just like decide to break with whatever rule set they're playing by in order to, for some self-interested reason. But truly a character like the Joker could really be the kind of person that's sitting there helping the Penguin and mid-battle for no apparent reason, including to himself, just switch sides to fight for Batman. Whoa. And you're like, wait, what? Yeah, that's what that character's sort of whatever implies, but it's not played that way. Not a lot. It would be difficult to do on this silly TV show. But then Tim Burton, who's basically goth, right? He has taken Hercule style points from one Robert Smith of The Cure, who I think got some of that inspiration from Duran Duran. They really had like kind of the same style. The only difference is Duran Duran was like styled slightly, it was less messy. They both did this like teased up, blow up kind of blowout hairstyles, whereas Duran Duran's was like very well combed. The Cure, it's also very well. That's not an accident, but it's made to look sort of crazy. Like, think Edward Scissorhands. That's actually what Tim Burton looks like, Edward Scissorhands. And so you got this guy who's like into dark. Everything he does dark. And in the early 90s, this is 1990, I believe, that this thing comes out, or 89. That it's hard for me to remember exactly when, this 30 years ago. He starts this like trend. And I remember watching that movie, liking it a lot, and thinking, yeah, I want to watch more Tim Burton movies. I was incorrect. Okay, Nightmare Before Christmas blows. Edward Scissorhands, not that cool. Beetlejuice is cool. I don't know if Tim Burton did that, but it wouldn't surprise me if he did. Batman, he makes three Batman. Like, the first three of five in the series. They were all good. Okay, the first one was awesome. The second one with the Penguin, still cool. And then I can't remember the third. It was with George Clooney. There's like Val Kilmer. I forget. Anyway, but he makes this. But the Joker character, played by Jack Nicholson, he's played in this Jack Nicholson sort of acting crazy way, right? And of course, Jack Nicholson is considered like this awesome Hollywood guy, and you don't like considered top of his craft. Is that true? I think, aside from a few roles, he tends to play himself, where his personality is so distinct, and the voice and everything, that even though Christian Slater basically copied him, it's kind of like he's playing himself, even though he's sometimes not. It's just, there's so many things about him that are really esoteric to him, that he's not a great character actor. You know what I mean? Like, if you just wanted some guy to like, hey man, I just need some dude to like play a strong supporting role where he plays like a somewhat stereotypical lawyer, like you'd picture a lawyer being, he's not the best choice for that. Anyway, what's his face? I'm trying to say, oh yeah. So, but he does this like bang up job. And then you have years later, in a Christopher Nolan's, one of the best movies ever made. Is it Dark Knight Rises? Is it Batman Returns, Dark Knight Rises, and whatever, where Heath Ledger plays the best Joker that's ever been played. Why? The first one portrayed in the Batman TV show and movie was literally more of a jokester. Like, he just thought stuff was, he just laughed a lot, thought it was funny, and was a little bit more reckless than his compatriots. But he still adhered to like this organized crime model. But he wasn't the leader of. In the Batman movie, he's the leader of this organization, and he's destructive. But it's still not like complete insanity, right? This is like, you're giving criminal intent to someone that actually doesn't necessarily have it. In the form of like greed, there's like, he just wants revenge. It's pretty standard stuff. Meaning it makes sense. You understand it. You shouldn't be able to. Heath Ledger's character boggles people's minds. He robs banks, he burns the money, he takes over a criminal syndicate solely for the purpose of like enacting chaos and destruction, right? But for no reason. In the final Batman, I can't remember, whatever her name is, Lalia al Ghul and Bane have a reason for their anarchy. They're essentially Marxists, right? And a lot of people said, well, this is like a treatise on the French Revolution. It's like, no, this is an explanation of wokeism. They're woke, essentially. Now, they're also greedy and criminal, but they're woke. Like, it's a lot of woke, and they're doing their chaos in order to like pull off their ideology, right? Whatever that is, however you want to look at it. In Batman, he's not doing that. he's sowing chaos strictly for his enjoyment. Like, he really doesn't care. He's not trying to make money. He's not trying to terrorize people. You know, like Scarecrow. He's not in it to get power or any of those things. It's completely random. It's like the Destroyers, like Graham Greene's the Destroyers or something like that, right? What about, yeah, he's got the smile and he wears the makeup. You know, it's like a scar on his face, right? But, you know, he wears this purple suits, but it's kind of mangy. It's kind of dirty. So we get to Jared Leto. And his Batman sucks, according to... I've seen Suicide Squad, and let me just... He's such a small part of it that it's sad to read what he did. So Jared Leto is this, like, psycho... kind of a psycho method actor. Which means what? Which means he goes to, like, these incredible lengths to get his character, you know, right. Method means basically, like, you stay in character the whole time. You know what I'm saying? You just, like, he acts like basically in character the entire time. He doesn't leave character. So he's pretending to be the Joker the whole time. He's just, instead of Jared Leto, he's the Joker. And he's done things like gained 60 pounds, lost 60 pounds. He's very serious about his craft or whatever. Like, he's very, what you call, like, dedicated. He's like, dude, whatever it takes to get this role right, I'm going to do it. He does all this crazy stuff as the Joker. Like, sending pig carcasses to his castmates and playing dirty jokes and just acting kind of like a crazy person, like his version of a crazy person. That's not Joker's version, but whatever. He's doing the closest he can, because the Joker's version would literally be, I'm going to be the nicest guy in the world. You just wouldn't even notice. And then he would just get naked. He would just take his clothes off. Or kind of like Borat, like that dude, like, I'm just going to take a dump on this dinner table. Or, like, I'm sitting there eating dinner with you and I just throw a knife at your face and kill you. That's Joker. That's Heath Ledger Joker. So Jared Leto's like, okay, well, I got to play this Joker character as these two legendary actors, especially because Heath Ledger posthumously won an Oscar for the Joker. So it's like kind of like this legend, and Jared Leto's got to beat this legend. So he does all this crazy stuff. It's like, and he plays the Joker as, like, a 13-year-old's version of what a psycho is, visually. He's got, like, he walks around shirtless a lot. He's covered in tats, which, oh, it's never been done before. But the tattoos, one, imply the chaos. You see a lot of gang members covered in tattoos. But it also, I think, is kind of like a pathos that I don't think is there necessarily for this character. Maybe. But it's a little silly. It's like what you think a tough guy would look like. And in an era such as ours, where tattoos are so ubiquitous, it's neither here nor there. It's just a fashion statement. I mean, yeah, he's got damaged tattoos to his forehead. Like, face tats are still kind of like too many. But, like, being covered in tats is, like, meaningless, dude. Like, whatever. It's a whatever. It's no longer a tough, like, see a tattoo on someone's like, ooh. You see a girl with, like, a bunch of tattoos, you're like, it's less than six. Like, one tattoo on a person is, like, utterly meaningless. That's just like, oh, I got a tattoo. I got a tramp stamp. I got, like, barbed wire around my bicep. I got, like, a Marine Corps tattoo. It's like, whatever, dude. So there's that. Then he's wearing a grill. You know, like rappers do, where they, like, put this, like, piece of jewelry on their teeth. What? You got metal teeth? Okay. And then his part is, like, all but taken out of the movie. That, I do kind of feel bad because, like, I mean, that happens a lot. But you went through all this trouble and then you see the movie and you're in it for, like, 10 seconds. You're like, it's like a blip and they made such a big deal promotionally out of it. You're like, where's the character? So, in effect, it's a little unfair, but he comes off as just like a sort of posturing gangster, right? Whereas, like, this character was slowly mutating from, like, this giggling moron to kind of like, I just want to cause pain to, I want to cause pain, but I'm not trying to profit from it. Like, I want to cause pain for the sake of causing pain, but I'm doing it in, like, in service of this greater goal. I'm just willing to do this, all this messed up stuff to, like, I'm willing to do all this messed up stuff for no reason. I don't have an overriding plan. I don't have an end game to this. I don't have, I'm not trying to take over the world. I'm not trying to get you to change a policy. I'm not trying to get you, like, because terrorists aren't the Joker. They want something, right? Antifa wants something. The Tea Party wants something. The people they're, like, protesting lockdowns want something. Black Lives Matter want something. There's something they don't like, and they're trying to change it. That's not what Heath Ledger's Joker's doing. I mean, he does say something like hypocrisy, and if you take away, I'll show you the human soul is dark and all this. And it's like, yeah, maybe, but you could have done all that and kept the money, right? He doesn't. It matters. There's no goal. And then you have like Jared Leto coming in looking like basically a rap video. And it's like, what did you think was going to happen, bro? You look like a rock star, which he is, actually. The actor is in a band that's been somewhat famous. And you're like, oh, yeah, well, it's easy for an actor because of a band to get famous. Ask Phantom Planet, Jason Schwartzman. Ask Bruce Willis, calls himself Bruno. And Kevin Bacon's got a band. Gary Sinise has a band, the guy from Forrest Gump. Lieutenant Dan, he's been in a bunch of others, CSI. They're famous, they got bands, they can play, right? But Jared Leto's bands actually had hits and whatnot, more so than any of this other stuff. Blues Brothers. Anyway, so the dude's like close enough, maybe not rock star, but like professional musicians that has groupies. So you just come off looking like that. Even though you are that, you're supposed to be acting, you know, and it just doesn't quite cut it. It seems like juvenile, cartoonish. I know it's a comic, but they're especially DC. DC is supposed to be like edgy. That's their shtick. They kind of lost to Marvel on the straight comics, who's got interesting characters. Superman, not an interesting character. So Marvel has you beat. But what you do better is your character's like more realistic. And then this guy comes out and in a pretty bad movie called Suicide Squad and basically prances around like Blink 182. You're supposed to be like the psycho that doesn't care about anything, that burns piles of money just in order to like destroy stuff for the just sake of like his enjoyment of it. Sometimes not even that. You're just like impulsive actor. And what do you do with that? You look like a rap video. There we have it. And that's why his Joker sucks. All right. Thanks for listening. Bye.